Before we start, I'd like to share something I think is really neat following Neil's thing. I had an opportunity to speak in a very, very large church. The platform was probably as wide as this building. Before I was, the choir loft held 1,000. And as I was sitting there, I heard water running, and I thought someone left the toilet on. So I turned to the fellow sitting next to me. I said, I think we left the toilet running in the thing. And he said, oh, no, that's the waterfall over the from the pulpit down. It's a rock wall, and the water falls down. Well, this particular church, after it was built, it had two baptistries that when you baptized in them, the water came over, and the water ran down across the whole front of the church into this thing. Really beautiful. The church, when they got through building it, had a $16 million indebtedness. And the builder left, and a new fellow got it. And it was at the time that interest rates were real high. And the church could not afford to pay the interest payments. And so the new pastor, and the whole congregation knelt and asked God's forgiveness for what they did. I've had opportunity to work for two very excellent Christian organizations. And I'm so thankful what Neil has done, because when I went to this one organization that's been around for a long, long time, it was a Bible college where I was going to teach, had a new president, and I was going there to bring character. You know, could we develop the character of students in that college? Could kids go to Bible college and graduate with Christian character? Was that really possible? And so my part was to emphasize developing the life of Christ in the students while they were there. And we said, what can we do to make this school successful? And you know what we were told by a Christian leader? Clear the conscience of that Bible college. Go back and make right to all of the people that you know that have been hurt on staff by that. And then I had the privilege of, for 7.5 years, being vice president of Child Evangelism Fellowship. There are 5 vice presidents there. Went to that organization. The first thing we did was what Neil was saying. Maybe we didn't have all the stuff that Neil had, but we knew if our organization, that had been around over 50 years, the most effective organization reaching children over 100 countries of the world, if we were going to be successful, we had to clear the conscience of that organization. We had to go back and deal with past presidents and people who have been deeply hurt and ask their forgiveness. And so, I mean, it's not as involved as what Neil did, but I'll tell you, it was a blessing. And so to hear Neil come to this, and this was years ago, it's just thrilling. It worked. I mean, it worked for the Bible college. Our Bible college, it was going to close, became one of the, it grew by 100 students a year for 5 years. Well, other Bible colleges were going downhill. God honored clearing the conscience. So, I'm thrilled. I want to get, that's free. Thanks, Neil. But it works. I mean, I've seen it work in the past, and I know it worked. And I think some of the churches I pastored, now I know. I mean, I never thought about a church. I just thought about Christian organizations. Because I had a church that started on a split. And those are not good ones. I mean, if you don't do this, I don't think I'd want a church that started wrong. This is an old book. I'm a book lover, and I try to read in 2 or 3 books a week, and I really encourage them. I mean, I read a lot of warfare books, and I think I've read all that are out that I know of, but I would be really careful in just reading in one subject. And so we have a large biography section in our library at home. We probably have 600 or more now, Christian biographies. And I would really encourage you in ministry to read the life of someone God used. And as you read the life of that person, why did they use him? What was it about Hudson Taylor that God used this man, that his ministry is still going on over 100 years? And it's really, you know, we did this with our kids. But so I'm throwing you one biography. You mentioned it. They got 40 of them in today. And that's The Hidden Price of Greatness. Some of you didn't hear this, but this is an interesting book. It's on the suffering of some of the great people that you've read. Did you know that John Wesley's mother and father were going to split up? and the terrible struggles that they had. And so you read this book, and it's like the other side of the story that was never told. It's just an interesting book to read. But that's not a warfare book, but it's some of the great Christian books are hard to get, because now you get, you know, I was a teenage drug addict, and they get saved in the last chapter. And that's not really a book of a great Christian. It's a book how somebody became a Christian. But the great Christians, sometimes you have to go to OMF and CLC and get some of those old books, and you read these classic books, and it's wonderful. These people who knew who they were in Christ. But here's an old one, and I never read it. Dan gave it to me. Have you ever read this? I said, no, and it's called The Enthroned Christian. This has been out for 200 years, maybe. I don't know, a long time anyway. But if you haven't read it, it's your authority. And it's a classic, and I hadn't read it, but if you haven't, it's an excellent old book. Last, it's in your thing. You have also a list of these books in the back, in the biography. H-U-E-G-E-L. Just a little, and I'm sure, do you have them back there in the book? Do you have any back there on the book table? He doesn't, but he'd be glad to order them for you if you want that. I think he would be glad. This one is called The Quiet Warrior. Now, for you who have been in warfare counseling, this is one of the granddaddies who was at Prairie Bible Institute way back when you were being attacked for believing that spirits are real. So they do have some of these on the back table back there. And so if you've never read this, this is a biography of one of the old timers that was a pioneer in dealing with enemy activity in Christians' lives, who taught at Prairie. The author is Dorothy Brotherton. Okay. This one is, I love it, and I'm going to offer it again. There's a missionary here from Taiwan. Stick your hand up. All right, okay. How many years has Richard Webster been a missionary in Taiwan? Okay, 46 years. He's 70 years of age, still ministering. He's written a book on tearing down strongholds, and his wife wrote a book on worship and warfare. It's a companion. This is a man 46 years involved. It's interesting how his children came under attack. We're going to talk about that in the mission section today when he was in Taiwan as little kids. But an excellent, excellent book written by somebody who's been in the trenches 46 years. Excellent book. Richard Webster. Now, the only place I know where this is available is through Frontier Ministries in Pasadena. That's how I got mine. I had to ride out there and get this. I think this is published in Taiwan. But it's worth getting. Excellent. You read it. You know this fellow's had years of dealing with the enemy and a lot of victory. And he's not afraid to share stuff that was going on in his own family and in his ministry in all these years overseas. And he's very successful. He's still in Taiwan. I think he's going to retire at 72. I think the mission is going to make him come home. And I wondered about that, because being on the boards of mission, why can't missionaries die in the culture that they've given their life to? I wonder about that. We have missionaries that come home and they don't know anybody. They don't know anybody. Their family's dead. They're supporting churches they don't know. They've made trips back once every 4 or 5 years, and all their friends are on the field. And the people who love them and the people who respect them are there, and I wonder, why can't they die over there? Dr. Tim Warner kept telling me to buy this book, and so I finally got it. And he thinks it's the best, and if you ever minister to anybody outside of your culture, you know, if you have to vote people in your area or you're going overseas, pastors have read this before, they've gone over and done spiritual life things for missionaries. It's Communicating Christ, the Animistic Context. Really an excellent book. Tim Warner thinks it's the absolute best out, by Galen Van Reen, R-H-E-E-N-E-N, or I'm not sure I'm saying it right. It's just really an excellent, it just helps you to get a mindset for people who don't think like we do. And we think everybody thinks like we do, but they don't. And so this really helps you to think in terms of how these people think, because if you don't present the gospel on the level of their thinking, they don't get it. We think they get it, but they don't get it. So this is an excellent book. It's not necessarily super easy reading. I think it was his doctrinal thesis, but it's a classically good one. Tom White is usually always at our conference. He's not here this year, but Tom's written a new book, Breaking Strongholds. And Tom has got another book. I think it's The Spiritual Warfare. I can't remember what the other one was. We said it a couple years ago. But this is a new one by Tom White in the last 2 years. And they have it on the book table. And you may want to get one by Tom. Tom does a lot of traveling. He's involved in the Lausanne conference and all of that. Tom's a real dear brother in the Lord. Here's another book that's interesting. I read it. Now, when we recommend a book, it doesn't mean that we recommend everything in the book. But there's a lot of good in the book. This particular book I thought was very interesting, and it's called Prayer Walking. It's about walking in your neighborhood and praying for the houses and the neighbors. Just walk around and begin to pray for the people. You know, we have a legal jurisdiction. We're to be a light in a darkened area. And this is about how people began to walk through their neighborhoods praying for the people in the homes. Some of them even went to the homes and said, you know, we live here, and we're people of prayer. Do you have any prayer needs that you'd share with us and our family like to pray for them? And they take down the prayer requests. And so we'll come back to find out what happens. And then their family prays, and then they go back and check with the neighbors what was the answers to prayer. I mean, it's a lot of really neat things here in reaching out into your community and also praying against the enemy. It's all in there. But I think you'll find some real interesting things in Prayer Walking by Steve Hawthorne. Now, here is a book that I am excited about. We got a telephone call from Colorado asking if I would review this book for the conference. They published it themselves because I don't know how they could do it because it's so expensive. But you've heard me speak, and we talked about one of the major ingredients for someone coming to freedom is repentance, and how Acts says repentance is towards God. But most of us don't know who God is, so it's hard to feel that I've sinned against the God I don't know who he is. But this book is called From Freedom to Light. It's on the back table back there. They brought a number of these copies, but this is an excellent book. But let me tell you what is really super significant about this book. I mean, every book has something that's really strong. This has 40 pages on the names of God and how they relate to warfare. This is well worth your grabbing. And if you just read that section, it's just excellent. It's by Aaron Potter, and they're against the wall, way back against the wall. I was thrilled when I read this because I was wrestling with God and the names of God and doing to the study I did with the names of God or in my name do these things. And boy, when I got this book, it was like, here's an answer. Already done. You know, your homework's done. So why reinvent the wheel? Someone already did it for you. Last 2 years ago, remember I put a stack of manuscripts that I had to read 7 inches high? And then I had eye trouble, and I've had eye surgery since then. I think it's his fault because I got those manuscripts 2 days before the conference. I mean, 7 inches high of manuscripts. Well, anyway, it was Dr. Ed Murphy's book, and the book wasn't out then. I just had the manuscript, but here it is. I think they still have that sale price on. Is it still for the sale price? It was $25. It's $19.97. What makes this book tremendously helpful, it's one of the only warfare books that's indexed. You try to remember, what did I read? Does that ever get you frustrated? And you should see, we have probably 500 warfare books in my library. And I know somebody in that book said something good, but you know, I don't want to read it all over again to find that page. So this is excellent in the sense that you can go back and you say, children. And you look in the back, children, and you go here, and you can find it pretty readily. Although there's a tremendous material in here, but that makes this book different than most all the warfare books, is that you can go right to that subject and read what Dr. Ed Murphy said. And Dr. Ed Murphy is one of our board members and founding board members of our center. Dr. Ed Murphy. The title, The Handbook for Spiritual Warfare. If you've seen the video out there going, it's interesting, that video, the Indians that are being interviewed are Indians that I've counseled with personally. I've been on the reservation. I just got back on that reservation last week, dealing with the same Indians. The lady that is there is amazing. Her daughter was named in a Uwipi meeting. I appreciate what Neil said about cleansing the hotel room. They had a Uwipi meeting against me while I was there, and some demonic stuff happened in the motel room. We stood against it. That was a year ago, and it totally left. It was a tremendous thing. But the lady there, her daughter was named by the white buffalo lady. It was a demon that came in, the white buffalo lady. It's interesting. The lady in white's in the Philippines. She's in Maui. She walks through the Caribbean. She also is in the Sioux Indians. And she named this little baby. And this baby, as she tottered around as a toddler, would levitate objects, and people were afraid of her. She had tremendous powers. Her father, her grandfather was the most powerful medicine man of the Sioux Nation. And her father's now medicine man. The father, if you get my prayer letter, the father's one we met with that talked to us 2 hours about possibly exiting from being a medicine man. And they told him, the demons came and said, if you try to exit, we will kill your family. The very next day, his two sisters were in a car wreck and was killed outright. And the Indians don't say, wasn't that coincidental? But Dr. Ed Basel, who's worked with Indians for years, put that video together with Dan and I and the Indians. And also, he just wrote this. It's so practical. It's basic training for spiritual warfare. It has a lot of good outlines. If you want to teach spiritual warfare, look at this. You may find that this is be extremely helpful to you. It's not, you know, real heavy duty and way up here. It's down where people would be. And Ed has done a tremendous job. He's worked for many, many years with Sioux Indians. And it's not, he uses a lot of Sioux Indian illustrations in here, but a lot of the stuff that's going on with the Sioux Indians is going on with other people, just different. It's all, you know, just a different thing. But this is out there available for, I think it's $10. We received this in the mail, and I was so thrilled to get this. It sells for $85. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I haven't heard it. I looked through the notebook in the back, but it's Dallas Theological Seminary's tape series on spiritual warfare. We ought to clap. You know, I'm so thankful, and it's really excellent. It's $85 from Dallas Theological Seminary, but it, you know, I'm so thankful that not only one of our board members taught missions at Dallas for a number of years, but it also comes with notes in the back, and I'm just really thrilled that Dallas is publicly coming out that spiritual warfare is a legitimate reality. And so, every time I show these books, I lose some, especially Clinton Arnold's books. In fact, if you buy any Clinton Arnold's book, buy two, because mine always disappear. I think Clinton's put some kind of financial curse on them. So you buy one and it goes away, and so I've owned more of Clinton Arnold's books than anybody's. But they always disappear. And then last, I'd like to share, in my estimation, the best book on warfare that's come out in the last 2 years. I think it's going to do more to help people that are hurting than any book that I've read. I got the book in the mail. I read it in 2 days, and I thought, that's not right. I didn't do justice to the book. I've read the book through 5 times. I don't read books through that often. But I believe if you use this book in a proper way, you can help your counselees more than any other book you can give them outside of the Bible. And that's Living Free in Christ. This is absolutely one of the most phenomenal books you could give someone who's been set free. Because the problems they have after they're set free are the strongholds. And those are the belief systems that aren't true. They're still there. They've been set free. To me, setting someone free is the easiest part. That's easy. The hard part is what? Walking in victory. And if I have the wrong belief system about who I am, the enemy is going to come and attack these people. And so we have families do. We have them take this book, and we say, I don't want you to read. I don't care how much you want to. Don't read more than 2 chapters a week. And if you have kids that are, and we get a lot of homeschool families, and homeschool children are usually a lot more mature mentally and can handle a lot of information at a younger age. And we said, sit with your family and read a chapter. And then for 2 or 3 days, talk about how should my life be different because I'm accepted in Christ. What should that mean? What should that mean for us as a family? What should it mean for me as an individual? And you go through the 36 in Christ here, and you're going to find that the majority of people are going to have so few problems. Most of the problems, as I was reading Neil's book, most of the problems I deal with after a counselee leaves is answered in this book. They're being attacked on their identity. And they fall back into the wrong kind of thing, or they come under tremendous attack. So I would really encourage, and you have the paperback here, right? Yeah, I would encourage you, the paperback's cheaper. And I would encourage you to get them, because the paperbacks aren't, I don't think are involved in the, and I think you have to get a hardback in a bookstore. Oh, thank you. I encourage our people when they come to buy this book, and they start reading a chapter on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then read only one chapter, two chapters a week after that, because you read this book, you put it down, you say, wasn't that good? It did you absolutely no good. Until you make the application to your own personal life and see who you are in Christ and stand in that, then the strongholds will come down. So I've just been so encouraged with this book. Neil has a lot of new books out, and you'll be hearing some of them sharing. But if you haven't read this one, I would really grab a hold of this one. And I want to thank you for allowing me to share some of the resources that have come out in the last 2 years.